This morning, as we continue our study on protection in a cursed world, I want us to spend a little bit of time understanding who the enemy is and what the Bible has to say about our enemy. Now, we understand that our enemy is Satan, who resists all things that are righteous. He's a fallen angel and he's also defeated. So it's important we understand that the enemy that we're dealing with is defeated. He's been stripped of all that he had and he's toothless. No weapons at his disposal except one thing. He's a master deceiver. Okay? And that's important we understand that. Because we finished last week talking about the fact that Jesus himself said that in the world, you're going to have tribulation. No, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. He said in the world, in John 16, 32, 33, you'd have tribulation, which meant pressure, anguish, burden, persecution, affliction, and trouble. But he didn't end there. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome. Amen. So how do you have a cheerful disposition when you're under persecution, when you're under attack, when you're under pressure, when you're under affliction and trouble? Well, it's important to understand that, you know, when he talks about he's an overcomer, it means he's a conqueror. See, if Jesus is Lord, if he's the Lord of your life, if you've accepted him, you're also a conqueror. You're not defeated. We're not the broken, defeated ones in planet Earth. We're the victorious ones. But do you believe that? Do you believe it? John chapter 10. Now, many would have read this scripture many times. But I want to just explain a few things about it. Firstly, it says this, and actually I want to read from verse 8 of John chapter 10. It says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. That's important. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Then he goes on to say this, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief. Now, you've got to connect these two. The thief. They're the ones that go before me, but the sheep didn't hear them. Didn't hear them. They're teachers. These are teachers. The thief, the teacher, comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Understand something about John 10:10. John 10:10 is a continuation of all of John chapter 9 up until verse 21. All John 9. All the way through to John 10, 21 is all about the man that was born blind, that was healed, and the conversation and the challenges in relation to Jesus and the Pharisees that were trying to condemn him. Some of the things they said about Jesus throughout that discourse, they said that this man is not of God. Wow. Jesus is not of God. We know that this man is a sinner. This man is a sinner. Then they went on to say, when you get further in John 10, that he is or has a devil and is mad. Now let me ask you this question. If I'm going around declaring that Jesus is not from God, that he's a sinner and he has a devil, do you reckon I'd be a false teacher? Yes. That's the thief. It's about false teaching. Because they couldn't accept that Jesus could heal a man born blind. Not too hard for Jesus. Easy for him. But they wouldn't accept it. So what they do is they declare him to be something that he's not. that he's a thief, that he's a devil, that he's not from God, that he's a sinner. That is about false teaching. It's not describing the devil. But what's behind the false teaching is demonic influence. Of course, Satan's behind it. Always understand something about the realm of the demonic. Same with the realm of the spirit. You've got fruit and you've got the root. The fruit is the behavior. The root is the spirit. So when you're dealing with people that are your enemies, don't go attacking the fruit. Attack the root with the spirit, because our enemy is not natural. It's spiritual. Amen. Remember that. And it's the same with the good side of it. You got to attack the root, not the fruit. So when somebody treats you bad, that is the fruit of a bad spirit. You got to attack the root. If you're trying to attack the fruit and you shake the tree and all the fruit falls off, it's just going to grow more filthy, ugly fruit. But if you attack the root with the Spirit, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, you're going to see changes, because that's where the power is. That's where the victory is. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. It's spiritual. Okay, so understand, it says here that the thief comes not but to do three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I'm come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, if you read this, he's talking about, you know, you only enter through the door, him. If you come a different way, you're a thief and a robber. There is only one door to the Father, and that's Jesus. Amen. He's the door. You come through the door and you find Daddy. That's how it works. It's false teaching. It's false teaching. See, if we don't lift up Jesus for who he is, it's false. If I go declaring that Jesus doesn't always heal today, I'm a false teacher. You've got to understand this. If I declare that he's not going to be able to fix your marriage problem, or he's not going to be able to cover your boy while he's gone wayward, then I would be a false teacher, because the word says different. We've got to say what the word says. Amen. If you don't get this, people, you will live defeated lives. If you don't say what the word says, you're going to get what you say, good or bad. Hear my heart on this. Too many Christians are defeated because they won't say what's truth, but they rehearse what their circumstance is, and that is more than likely a deception. It might be a fact, but if it's not the word, it's not truth. This is really important. So, go with me to Isaiah, verse chapter 5. Isaiah, in the middle of the book. Or roughly, Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. See, we must know what is of the devil and what is of God. There's a good God and there's a bad devil. Am I with family here? Would you agree with that? There's a good God and there's a bad devil? Should we mix the two? No. Don't ever mix them and don't ever confuse them. There's a good God. Every good thing and every perfect thing comes from above and comes from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What does that all mean in James 1:17? God won't change. He's good. He's going to be good forever, whether you think he is or not, doesn't matter. Whether you hate him or not, doesn't matter. God's good. Amen. And if you accept it, you're going to get good. Amen. Hallelujah. Now have a look at Isaiah 5 verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Don't get caught in that stuff. Don't go around talking about all the bad things that are happening and why has God allowed this. Can I tell you, God has never let a bad thing happen to you, ever. Now, God will allow you to learn some things from your mistakes. Can I tell you something? God doesn't make mistakes. Might be a shock to some of us. God never made a mistake. And he never missed a thing. And when you go to God and pray about the thing that you and I missed, not the first time he knew about it, people. He saw it. Does he hate us? No. Does he throw us out? No. He says, come on, get up. He says, God, I've done so many bad things. He says, I know it. That's why I sent my son. Don't worry about it. He paid the price for you. If you'll get up off your feet and walk with me, it'll be glorious. I thank God nearly 30 years ago I said yes to him. I could not want to live in this world without Jesus today. I've got peace that most of this world hasn't got. I'll never trade it for anything. You could offer me $1 million for that and Jesus, I'd take Jesus every time. I'll tell you why. Because he's the Prince of Peace. You go to bed at night and you sleep sound. You wake up in the morning feeling totally refreshed and renewed because his mercies are renewed every day. Not just occasionally. Well, maybe I'll renew it today because you were good last night. You know what? When you go to bed in a real state, in a sinful state, he'll renew you in the next day. If you'll let him. This God is available to the extent that you and I are willing to let him in. Amen? So, we don't call good evil. We don't call evil good. Okay, we've got to separate the two. Now, go with me to John chapter 8. I want to show you the job description of the devil. So if you want to apply for his job, this is what you're going to have to do, people. And can I suggest to you, don't apply for it because the superannuation, the end of it, is really, really bad. It's called a lake of fire burning in sulfur forever and ever tormented with all his cohort. So don't apply for the job. Because his time's running out and he's going to be packed up and shipped home pretty soon. But in the meantime, we are warring a war. And he's the enemy. Amen. And a good soldier and a good army trains their people to know their strengths and the weaknesses of their enemy. Now, can I tell you, he's got no strengths unless you give him strength. All right? John 8, verse 44. Look at this. You are of your father, the devil. He's talking to religious leaders here. I'll tell you what, Jesus didn't mince words. Do you think he cared about who he spoke to and what he said? He's talking to religious people with, you know, the whole deal. The long flowing gowns, all very righteous, self-righteous, thought they're going to get to heaven on their efforts. Good luck with that. And this is what he says. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and he's a father of it. He's a liar and he's a father of it. That's the job description of the devil. So he's a murderer. He's a liar. He's a thief. That's all he wants to do is make sure that you don't get a hold of this truth and apply it in your life. Because if you get this word into your heart, he's gone. He's gone. He couldn't stop me getting saved nearly 30 years ago and he can't keep me out of the word. He's had a good crack, I can tell you. But he can't if I don't let him. And he won't if you don't let him. This ain't religion, people. This ain't Sunday service. This is boot camp. This is where you learn how to stand your ground and then when it's all over, we go home.
We stand.
No, when it's all over, we go home. Whoa, when it's all over, we go home to glory. But we stand in the meantime. Hallelujah. So, now, he's defeated, hear me, but not imprisoned. He's defeated, but not imprisoned. He's still out there. And it's important we understand that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. You can just make a note of it. It says he's the prince of the power of the air that now works in the children of disobedience. He's not imprisoned, but he is defeated. Now, why is that important? Because he still has an ability to influence planet Earth. How do we know that? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says that he's the God of this world age or this world system or this world order. He's the God, little g, He's got no authority, but he's a lawless one. He's here illegally. He's operating illegally. He's an enemy. He doesn't play by rules. We have to. But can I tell you this? If you play by God's spiritual rules, that evil one will touch you not. Amen. If you play by God's rules. Now, God's rules are for us. It's a bit like children being told, don't touch the fire. Don't touch the stove because it'll burn you. That's the rules that he gives us. He says, don't do certain things because I don't want you to get hurt. He's not being difficult. He's not being a harsh daddy. He's a loving father that wants to protect us. If you're going to put your hand in the viper's nest, be wary. You might get bitten. Now, when we're walking in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit, no venomous snake can touch us, I can tell you now. No scorpion, no demonic force. I mean, if the devil could shut me up, wouldn't he be doing it right now? You betcha. He can't shut me up, and he won't, because the word is truth. And it'll be preached until Jesus comes back or I get launched off into space. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter. I'm going out in the first boatload. If you want to be in the earth during the tribulation, good luck to you. But don't call pastor. Hear me gone. I'm a pre-tribber and I'm going out on the first load. I'm going. I'm going to watch it from heaven, the big fight. Don't you worry. All right. Now, go with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Oh, I tell you what. Hold me down. I'm going to take off. Oh, my goodness. 1 Peter. Now, this supports this notion that he's defeated but not imprisoned. Have a look. 1 Peter. Verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says this, be sober, be vigilant. Then it goes on to say this, because your adversary, the devil. Do you notice that? He's our adversary. Ours. He's after us, the Christians, the believers. This is Peter writing a letter to the believers. He says, your adversary, the devil. Let's see how he's described as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, has anyone got a translation which says, your adversary, the devil, who's watching behind bars? Anyone got that?
No.
Your adversary, the devil, that's in chains, hands and foot. Anyone got that?
No.
No. What is he doing? Walking about. He's a free agent for a season. You've got to understand something about why that's the case. When God gave Adam the blessing, then there was a season of time that God wanted Adam, mankind, to rule on the earth. But when Adam bowed his knee to the devil and gave all that authority to the devil, he's now got control of it for the season that God had originally ordained. And there's a span of time which is man's in the earth. That's why we have time in this earth. God, there's no time. 1,000 years is a day. A day is 1,000 years to God. You live 100 years, you've lived 2-point-something days on earth, whatever it is. It's nothing to God. That's why Paul talks about, you know, this light affliction I have for a season. Because with God, everything's compressed. But the enemy, if you're wondering why he's in the earth and why is he doing what he's doing, because he's got a right to be here because of Adam. Adam gave him the authority to do what he's doing on earth. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, but what about the cross? What about Jesus? Didn't Jesus fix all that? Yes, he did. Did he not?
Yes.
Now, are you and I walking in the victory of it? We should be. Because that evil one touches us not if we're in Christ and we're victorious and conquerors. Who he has authority over now are those that are deceived and in darkness. But he doesn't have authority over the believer if we don't let him in.
Amen.
Now, let's unpack this a little bit. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. That word sober, vigilant, means to keep watch, keep awake, be attentive. He's treading all around, or he walks at large. He is a free agent, I'm telling you. He's a free agent. Not in my house, he ain't. Hope he's not in yours. All right. Devour means to gulp entirely or to swallow up. You got a really thirsty, you know, and a hungry, just go gulp. That's what that word devour means. He's seeking who he can just gulp. Right down. One quick go. Now, we don't want to be that people. We don't want to be the ones that are walking around blind when we've got the word of his light. Amen. And the word illuminates our pathway. And then it goes on to say this, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now, let me say this to you. If you think, and I think, that we're going to be able to attack or stand against the enemy without the word of God, when we get a quick grab on a Sunday morning and go out and fight this fight, we are kidding ourselves. This devil has eyeballed you from the day you said yes to Jesus, and he wants to target you. He wants to target me, but he walks around seeking whom? He may devour. He just can't devour anyone. If you're on his radar, there's a reason. And most of the time, it's because your words are giving him access to your world. And you speak things that lift him and give him glory. But we need to go back to the word. We need to make sure that our armor is on. And we'll talk about that in a few weeks' time, how we do this. But it's important to understand today that there is an enemy out there. We know it's a fallen world. We know we're in this present evil age. We know that. We know there's an enemy. We know that. We know it's a battle. We understand that. So we've got to get this foundation properly laid so that when we understand the authority we have and the protection we have, you're going to walk in joy, unspeakable. You don't need to be taken out. You don't need to. Christians should not be dying young. I'll say it again. Christians should not be dying young when God said our days are 120 years. We go out at 75. What's wrong with that? Words, fear, doubt, unbelief, wavering, oscillating. But he said your days are 120 years. Why won't you live it? Oh, yeah, but you know, if I live that old, that age, I'll be old and I'll be this. Will you? Is that your confession? Then you will. Why not live out your full days and be like Moses? His eyes were not dim, neither was he, were his natural forces abated. He was as strong then as he was when he got called 40 years earlier. Same with Caleb. His strength had not abated one little bit. These are strong men of faith. So we can trust God, but we're going to have to understand how faith works. We're going to have to understand the rules of faith, the law of faith. We talk about the law of Moses, but there's also a spiritual law that we operate. And remember, faith in two places, in your heart and in your mouth. In your heart and in your mouth. It's got to be in both to be effective. So far, so good? All right, so we resist steadfast in the faith. That means to oppose, to withstand, or to stand against with a strong, solid, sure, and stable faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Every time you read the word, faith comes. Every time you put the word in front of your eyes, healing comes to your body. You say, where does it say that? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22. The word is life to those that find it and health or medicine to their flesh. You want to stay well? Read the word. Read it. Keep it before your eyes. This is powerful stuff. But the devil doesn't want you to know this truth. He just wants you to doubt God. He wants you to cause, he will raise up false teachers that are in churches that won't preach the Bible but tell good stories. The trouble is, good stories don't bring faith. Miracles don't bring faith. Do you know that? Miracles don't bring faith. The word brings faith. Don't find a shortcut to faith. Don't try and find it. There isn't one. If you're not going to spend time, and you know what? I can't spend time for you to build your faith. Here I can. I can preach the word to you and faith will come. But outside of this environment, we've all got to walk this journey. None of us are going to get in on someone else's faith. Doesn't work that way. As you heard me say it many times, no grandchildren in heaven. Just children. What do I mean by that? Everyone has to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Everyone. Me, my children, their children. That's the way it works. Everyone says yes to him or rejects him. And you know what? If you reject him, that's fine. It grieves his heart. But you are now at the mercy of a devil that's going to take you out at some point. Hear me now, people. The devil will find your weak spot at some point and take you out. Now, I tell you, when you've been in law enforcement, like maybe 40 years, 40 years, I can tell you now, it's an evil, wicked world out there. What's the difference between somebody driving down a road, taken out by a drunk driver, and someone who misses by a whisper? What's the difference? Oh, yeah, it was just fate. Was it? This is real stuff. And we're going to get into that in the days ahead. Why do bad things happen to good people? There are answers for that. We don't just think, oh, you know, it happens. It's just a bad world out there. Yes, it is a bad world out there. But we don't need to be under that. No. We're believers in Christ. We have a covering. We have angelic forces. We have the blood that covers us. God's covenant of protection belongs to us. But are we using it? Are we speaking it? Are we declaring it? Are we declaring it over our children? Whether they're walking with God or not, who cares? You stand in faith for them. You stand in faith. And when that prodigal walks away, you be looking out over the horizon for when that prodigal comes back. And when that prodigal comes back, you open up your arms and grab them and love them as if nothing ever happened. Don't hold it to their charge. Stay in faith for them. God will work on your behalf if you just stay with him. Stick with it. I tell you what, if you trust Jesus and you use that name, that powerful name of Jesus, no devil will touch you. And no person that the enemy's using will touch you if you dare to trust the name. But it's got to be in two places, heart and mouth. This is real. This is real. All right, very quickly. God will allow what you and I will allow. I want you to think of Adam and I want you to think of Job. Some of you might not know the story of Job, some may not. But think about two things. Both fell and God allowed it. You might think, why would God allow his man to fall? Didn't he know the consequences? Yes, he did. But God gave Adam choice. God gave us choice. What about Job? Well, let's have a look quickly at Job. I want to, you know, just dispel some unusual ideas about Job. I want to show you some reality about Job. And Job's just before the book of Psalms. Now, for some of you that understand the story of Job, Job was a rich, wealthy, righteous man. But Satan got in there and did a real work on him. A real work. And of course, you'll hear generally speaking that God allowed it. God allowed Job to fall. Interesting. Even though there's a good God, isn't there, and there's a bad devil, am I right? Yes. Is every good thing and every perfect thing come from above? Is that right?
Yes.
We're not to confuse evil with good and good with evil, am I right?
Yes.
Well, let's have a look. And I want to show you the key to his fall. I want to show you. Read with me from verse 1. In Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was perfect or mature and upright and one that feared God, had a reverent fear of God, and he eschewed evil or he shunned evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and camels and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 asses and very great household. This was a wealthy man. Today, he'd have lots of property. He was a wealthy, wealthy man, probably a millionaire, possibly a billionaire in today. All right. And so this man was the greatest of all the men in the East. He was up there at the top of the tree. Now, read with me. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting was gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, you got to circle that word, underline it, do something with it. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. This did Job continually. Now, you've got to understand something about Job. He violated a principle of protection. What was it? Who can think of what it was? He violated a principle of protection. He let fear in. He let fear in. Fear is demonic. You let fear into your heart, your faith is going to crush. You can't have fear and faith operating in the same spirit at the same time. When Jairus, that synagogue ruler who came to Jesus and said, Lord, come and lay hands on my daughter, she's sick, and if you lay hands, she'll be well. And everything was going all right until Jesus had to stop and minister to some other woman, and in the meantime, the daughter died. Somebody came to Jesus and said, don't trouble the master anymore, Jairus. Your daughter's dead. I tell you what, if you and I heard that, we'd do one of two things. We would hold on tightly to Jesus or we'd go off. Now, what was the only thing Jesus said to that man, Jairus? He said, stop the fear. Stop the fear. Only believe what you've already said. He had to turn to Jairus. Jairus hadn't said anything, but Jesus perceived something could stop him receiving what he'd already said. Come and lay your hands on my daughter that she may be healed and she will live. That's what his faith was declaring. If he had said something else, she would have died. Fear is the greatest hindrance to our faith, and it's the one that causes the protective wall to come down. See, he had a hedge of protection around him. Not even Satan could see it. That's why God says, behold, he's in your power. Why was he in his power? He was in his power because the hedge had come down. Now, how do we know that? Go with me to chapter 3, verse 25. Chapter 3, verse 25. He got in fear, it breached the hedge, and a serpent bit him. Fear is no place in the arena of faith. Verse 25 of chapter 3 of Job. For the thing which I what? Greatly feared has come upon me. The thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come under me. Wow. The thing which I had greatly feared. I'm telling you, I don't know what you've heard about this story. You take time to study that with the Spirit of God. God did not inflict Job with sickness. Satan had access to that man and his family because he feared. He opened the door. The devil couldn't even see it. God said, he's in your power, but you can't have his life. So clearly there was a covenant of protection on Job's life, but not his possessions. Why did he lose it? Because of fear. I'm telling you, if you walk in fear, if you allow fear to rob you, the enemy's got access to you. He's got access to your family. Now, how do we deal with fear? We come against it. We speak against it in the name of Jesus. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. That's the spirit we're of. Amen. We're not of a spirit of fear. That's not the spirit in us. We have a spirit of faith. And we've got to let that faith rise up. You don't get that because you read one Psalm 3 weeks ago. If you read one Psalm 3 weeks, you see what happens to your body if you have one meal in 3 weeks. You'll be weak and emaciated and probably laying down because you've got no strength. It's the same in the spirit. We've got to feed the spirit so that we can stand against the enemy. And when you've done all to stand, the Bible says we stand. People, this is how you overcome. Because I'm telling you, the moment you walk out into that world, accept the fact that it is cursed, it's demonic, and there is a huge press to shift people away from anything godly. Have you not noticed?
Yes.
Don't be surprised, it's going to get darker. But I'm telling you, in here it's going to get lighter and lighter and lighter. Why? Because the Word of God is going to keep us. Remember, Paul said, I have committed to him that which he'll keep for me.
Yes.
We read that in the first 2 weeks. Paul committed to God that which God will keep or guard or protect. What are you going to commit to him? Are you going to commit your family to him? Are you going to commit your health to him? Are you going to commit your finances to him? Are you going to trust him with all your heart? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. That's what he said he would do. Job failed. But I want you to see something. Last chapter of Job, go right to the back at verse 10 of 42. Verse 10 of chapter 42. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. There was a time where it all came back to him. It wasn't all a sad ending. It was a tragic beginning for him, though. But he got it all back. Now, it's interesting. It says that captivity, that means he was held against his will in Job 42:10. He was a prisoner. In his former state, he was prosperous, but now he was a prisoner. He was in dust and ashes and he was scraping boils all off his body because he was afflicted with sickness. Now, people say, well, that was God. God taught him something. Garbage. Don't believe that garbage. Don't ever believe that. And I'll tell you something else. Two things to think about there. Firstly, where does God get sickness from if he's going to use it? Where does he get it from? He ain't getting it out of heaven. It's not there. Heaven's perfect. If there was sickness in heaven, that means there's a demonic presence because sickness is under the curse. Where would he get it from? Oh, excuse me, devil. Can I borrow some of your sickness? I just need to teach my kids something. Now, that's funny, isn't it? But you know what? That trash gets taught in church. That trash gets taught in church. You know, the devil just, he needed to teach you how to be good. So he got a little bit of sickness and slapped it on you. Well, that means he's a child abuser. And I won't follow him if he is. He's a good God.
Amen.
There's a bad devil. And we need to understand the difference. Job got beaten at the game of life because he let fear in. He wasn't trusting God as far as the covenant was regarding him and his children. Had he have not been worried every morning, getting up every morning, having sacrifices, oh, what if my boys and girls have sinned? Maybe they've sinned and cursed God. I'll make a sacrifice. He let the devil come in and the devil run him ragged. This is real, people. But we don't have to be that. And I can tell you something else too. Job existed even before the law. He didn't have the Spirit of God and dwelt in him. We do. We're a new creation people. We're new believers in Christ. We are the most powerful beings on this planet. If we understand it, we have the authority. He's got none. He's defeated. The devil's ultimate objective is to cause people to fear that God's promises won't come to pass in their lives. The devil's ultimate objective is to cause people to fear that God's promises won't come to pass in their lives. Oh yeah, it's all right for somebody else in the church. You know, that person got a healing and they were faith giants and, you know, she was a believing woman, but it won't happen to you. Ever heard that lie, son? That's what he wants to do. He wants you to doubt the promises of God. That's what he did with Eve. That's what he tried to do with Jesus. Good luck to that. And that's what he'll try to do with you. He'll try. The question is, to what degree are you going to let him into your life? When at some point you think, gosh, there's so much going on in our house, let's kick the devil out. Does it take that long to work that out? And I'm guilty of that too. You know, he's in there, he's having a crack at us, he's putting sickness on our bodies, the finances are pressed, there's tension in the home. We think, hang on, we need to pray. You know what? Stop everything. Take the communion, come together, regroup, get before God and say, devil, in the name of Jesus, get out of this house in Jesus' name. Touch not God's anointed and do them no harm. You watch. You'll hear him going. You'll hear his little head he goes. Remember, Mark chapter 4, verse 15. We're almost done. He wants to steal the word. In fact, go with me to 4. Put it before your eyes. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 15. Mark chapter 4. I'll read from verse 14. The sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes occasionally sometime later. Is that right? He comes immediately to steal the word, immediately to take away the word that is sown in their heart. So that word to take away means to remove it, to steal it. He comes immediately. I'll tell you why. He doesn't want the word to take root. He doesn't want this word to take root in your heart, because if the word takes root in your heart, you've now got a basis for believing. Because out of the abundance of your heart, what are you going to do? You're going to speak. Is it going to be faith coming out, or is it going to be fear? What's the first words that are going to come out your mouth in a crisis? Father, all is well. All is well. Is that going to come out your mouth when you've got everything pressing against you? Or, oh my gosh. That's a choice. The rewards, very different. All right, keep reading. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. We're going to be talking about this in a few weeks' time. What is the suffering of the believer? What is it? I'll tell you what it is. It's the word. You get the word in your heart and you go and share it with somebody, you're going to come under persecution. Guarantee it. Absolutely guarantee it. If you don't want persecution, don't open your mouth. But you'll never have a joy and a peace in your heart if you don't. When the Spirit of God speaks to you and you know you've got to share something, share it and trust God. Because I tell you, he doesn't want this word to go forth. This word changes. There is nothing in this world order that faith won't overcome. Nothing. I don't care what you're facing. Nothing in this world order that faith won't overcome. Why? Because it's finished. We win. We win. I've got a house being built for me in heaven. And as good as yours is, Jason, it's better. It's better. Because my pathway's gold. Oh, well, concrete's all right. Concrete's all right. All right. Almost done. Do not seek a truth outside the scriptures. Hear my heart here. Don't seek a truth outside the scriptures. You notice I said a truth. You got a truth and you got the truth. Anything out there you can call the truth. The world's doing it. Well, that's a truth and this is a truth and this is what moral value looks like and this is what marriage is today and this is this. Anyone can say it's a truth or it's my truth, but what's the truth? The truth is Jesus, the living Son of God. Amen. And his word is the truth. Amen. So you want the truth? Go to him. Otherwise, what you're going to get there ain't truth. Ain't truth. So don't seek a truth outside the scriptures, the word of God must be first place and final authority in our lives. Amen. This word, people, won't fail us. Understand, as we bring this to a close, there is an enemy. Accept that. There's an enemy, but we're a well-trained army. And guess what? We have full armor on. We have the sword of the Spirit. So not only do we have full armor on, but we've got the weapons of our warfare, which are not natural, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. We're warring against a defeated enemy that has no weapons. None. How can we lose? I'll tell you how we can lose. If you believe him and not God. Amen? Let's trust God at his word as we walk this journey of faith. Let's pray.